Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Listeners.
Listeners to the... Normally we do 6 episodes in a season. This is episode 5, season 5. 5-5 feels accurate. It feels good. Also, I have to go back to America.
Yeah, I mean, it's more a scheduling thing than...
It's a schedule. Schedule's anything. The American way of saying it, you know? Schedule's British.
I say schedule.
Yeah, you say American.
Really?
You'd fit right in LA, mate.
I always thought it was schedule.
Nah, that's American. Okay. Schedule. Anyway, we finished... It also feels an apt way to finish the season because... We had your British wedding party, which Trevor attended.
Yes.
He wore his lovely shirt from season four, and it was lovely.
With
and
a sort of fleece over the top.
With mainly a blue jacket over the top, which was remarkably similar to my jacket, which says a lot about my fashion at the moment. But yeah, it was a lovely day. It feels like a nice way to wrap up the season, and I can't wait to hear. Trev did a poem, which we'll talk about, and then he'll read at the end of this episode to cap off the season.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear Trev thought of your beautiful wedding nuptials. Hi, Trev.
Hey, Trev.
Hello, how are you? A bit sick today, as I said. I've got the...
Because you were feeling a little bit rough yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So did you drink?
No, I didn't drink, no. And Julie took very good. She'd be hydrating me all day, Julie. Just pouring all kinds of shit down my throat. And... So she's been very good, nursing me. But I don't feel much better, really.
No. So she didn't do a very good job.
Oh, no, she did her best, but I'm just, a bit sniffly.
Yeah.
And but other than that, I'm in good spirits. And this is the coming to the end of the run, aren't we?
We are coming to the end of the run.
That's right.
It's been short but fun. And again, it's funny that in my life, I've seen probably you more than any of my family since I've come back to Los Angeles.
It's really funny. I saw one of your friends the other day.
Oh, I'm actually seeing him today.
Oh, cool. And he was like, I've not actually managed to see Chris.
That was a vegan connection.
That was, I've got some of your friends are sort of now, we've, bonded over other things.
Yes.
There's a lot of vegan food here yesterday.
Yes,
a lot of vegan food.
We actually thought that the sort of spread, the buffet bit, might be your worst nightmare.
Yeah, it was actually.
Because it's literally just anyone can grab it and touch it.
Finger food.
Yeah, I didn't go near it, to be honest with you. I thought, very vulnerable. The food looked very vulnerable. Sneezing over it and picking at it.
I saw my mum do a lot of double dipping, which is where you get a big bit of...
I'm a double dipper.
You get a bit of bread, you dip it in there, take a bite, dip the same bit in a pot.
Fuck, it's disgusting.
Oh, I do that. I probably did that to every dip before anyone arrived.
Okay,
just so you
know. Yeah. In China, they do a lot of double dipping, and unfortunately...
I don't know why that sounds racist.
Well, I feel quite bad about this, because the bloke with the underpants. Well, he was sort of... Because he was in... poor bloke was like near the end.
He had
cancer or whatever. But they still hadn't told him, because they don't do that.
Yeah, daffodils.
What do you mean they hadn't told him?
If you get cancer, they think if they tell you you've got daffodils... that it'll affect your morale and weaken your resistance.
So they just don't tell you you've got cancer?
Yeah, he didn't know he had cancer. He thought he had a bad back.
What? Are you talking? This can't be real.
No, it's real. I've talked to Hattie, you know, my ex-wife, about it. She said, oh, he doesn't know that he's got cancer. They kept
but they know.
Secret.
Everyone else knows.
Yeah, they told the family. They didn't tell
That's
him.
That's weird.
That is rude. So he's losing weight and in total agony. And he just thought he had a bad back, you know what I mean? And so,
at no point did he think, I'm going to get a second opinion on this. I feel like I'm dying.
The bloke must have fucking thought, got through it. I am really ill.
Need a massage, that'll sort this out.
But I felt bad because we had a meal and I was having a meal with him and I knew he had cancer and he was dying. And they had this double dipping. double dipping into the food. Yeah. When he dipped in, I couldn't dip in.
Oh, that's not how you get it.
I mean, you definitely can't catch cancer.
No, you can't. It was just a psychological thing of, oh, fuck, he's dying, poor cunt. And then I'm sort of eating out of the same. It's a neurosis on my part. I felt really bad doing it. Just fucking disgraceful behaviour. But that was very traumatic.
Did he? Someone give him the heads up a couple of days before he passed away?
Like? He put him in a hospice.
Did you do the maths at that point?
Yeah, I think he figured it out.
When you're in a hospice,
by that point.
I think I've tracked this.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what? It's a bad back.
It's
very morbid to laugh at it, but for me, it's an insane.
It's a fucking horrible story.
Another side point. Sorry, I was going to say in China. Because obviously our mainstream medicine is Western medicine. Theirs is, I assume, Chinese. What are they trying to cure it with Chinese medicine? Are they cancer? Do they do chemo?
Yeah, they do. They always go to the Chinese doctor before they go to a medical doctor and get the potions and all that shit. And I think it's placebo, you know what I mean? They like mix cockroaches and all kinds of rubbish into the same pot and grind it up and add water.
Yeah.
Sounds worse than Carl's mezze planties.
Eat the most disgusting concoction of fucking rubbish. And more of a mental thing they've got, they think it's working and it does actually help, but it's placebo.
Yeah, of course.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
If it works, regardless, isn't it?
It probably increases
your
resistance 2% or something like that, but better than nothing.
I don't know. We started very morbid for the end of season five, I hope, randomly.
Even though it was my wedding party yesterday, producer Joel said you had a conversation about ways you wanted to die.
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't part of that conversation. I was wanting off, enjoying myself.
I thought I'd rather die of a heart. I wouldn't want to die of a heart attack or a stroke. I'd rather die in a nuclear holocaust because it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? At least
when you say in the holocaust, you mean the initial blast
or a couple of months after?
I'd like to see the mushroom cloud in the far distance. Just it's a fucking an atomic bomb's gone off, and then be hit by the nuclear wind.
Yeah,
and I'd just be particles. Then wouldn't I just be vaporized? Be fairly quick.
Is it quite quick?
Yeah.
And wouldn't have time to say goodbye, I don't think, anyway. and the rest of humanity would probably die with me, but I'm a selfish fucker. As long as I die the way I want.
I suppose, so what you're saying is you just want something quick.
Quick.
You're done.
Yeah.
Rarely anyone wants a slow, painful death.
No,
No one's ever like a
lazy. No, what I mean is some people, I suppose, would like to know, I've got 6 months or whatever, so we can sort of tie up affairs, but you just want to have 10 seconds. You want to see a mushroom cloud and then you're dead.
Yours is when you decide to leave a party, because I have a similar thing. It's annoying when you leave and you've got to say goodbye to everyone. An Irish death, isn't it? You just die really quickly and say goodbye to anyone.
If you died within, let's say, 3 seconds, it'd be the worst 3 seconds of your fucking life, wouldn't it? Be as fucking painful as fuck.
It's three up there.
But you could count 1, 2, 3, it's over.
Yeah.
As opposed to, just having a coronary collapse and crawling on your hands and knees to get help and the pain and the can't breathe.
I imagine it's quite a hard thing to just accept a heart attack. It's very rare, I think, someone starts having a heart attack and goes, this is a heart attack, and just sit down and just tap out.
I'm thinking that's what I'd do.
You just firm up. Sit down.
This is it. You know what I mean?
I feel like Trev would do that because that's sort of his general state anyway, which is just sitting down and not doing a lot.
No, I think I might not even call for help. I'd go, no, this is it. This is the end.
Yeah.
And that, it's better to go, just let it happen. I don't want to recover from a heart attack and be infirmed and sick and I can't go to the gym. Yeah.
So you don't want to even call an ambulance just in case they sort of fix you up?
Yeah, half recover me and then, let's say I lapse into unconsciousness and I wake up, I've got brain damage and, I can't see out of one eye and gibbering and, I'm fucking talking shit for the rest of my life.
What, Do you have an age in your head where you think that'll be enough for me?
80, actually.
Bang on 80, yeah. Okay. Yep. That's actually the age of my father-in-law who I'm about to see. So then yeah. I would counteract that with, he still gets joy out of life. Yeah. He still plays a bit of golf.
Yeah, okay. Maybe
so I think
joy,
I think people always think of an age. I remember yeah, what sure. Charlie said when we were younger. Yeah, when you get there. He goes, at 60, I want
to
die.
Yeah, you know? I used to think 60.
And I was like, that's like not... And his dad's now 70, so you yeah, still joy right. That can be had.
Well, when you get there, I suppose you can be, go, oh, I don't really want to die. And
yeah, you adapt. I think you also adapt. Because yeah. If I look back at stuff... Yeah. When I was 20, like stuff I do now, I don't do as much stuff as I used to in a certain way, but then you kind of find other ways to enjoy life. But
life is very resilient. I mean, and even you may have a conscious wish to die, and life is inside of you. It's like life is a separate entity.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
It? And it's very, very resistant, you know, to fucking disappearing and not existing anymore.
But then that sort of goes against your sitting and accepting a heart attack.
That's right.
The will
I'd have
to live would probably make
I'd have
you
to fight this
crawl
entity
out of the front door.
That's right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
If you had, like, you had a heart attack.
Yeah.
You had a few of us around. Do you have anything you would like to be your last words?
I've thought about my last words.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. It'd be, I thought, what word can I come up with that would be memorable or...
Yeah.
You know, there's some... I mean, they say people have memorable last words. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
They probably go, well, that was... Yeah, what you said 10 minutes ago was great. Now just shut the fuck up.
That's the thing. I don't think... When people say last, like famous last words, what they mean is something they've said probably an hour before they died.
That's right.
And they definitely said some more stuff.
I don't want to die. It fucking
hurts. That's what I mean. I reckon, you know, there is definitely a bit of editing in final words, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we get the sort of touched
editing
up
in final words.
Version.
Sounds like an application on the computer.
I actually, at times, I pretend I'm going to die and everyone's around me and I'm, you know, I'm saying my last words.
When do you do that?
Occasionally I do, yeah.
Just at home?
Yeah, that's right. And I actually start to cry.
Right.
Like when I'm acting it out, that's how fucking I really get into it.
Yeah, really. So just at home, you're like almost, obviously it's not like a gig where you can do an open mic dying.
Yeah.
You're just at home.
That's right.
In front of the mirror?
No, just on the sofa, in my corner.
Yeah, just in your
mind. In front of Juliet?
Yeah, no, Juliet's not there, but I'm imagining she is.
Okay.
And then I say my last words to her. You know
what are the words?
But I'd say, darling, that's a bit... darling, it's been an honour to share this space and time with you. And yeah, just fucking syrupy shit like that.
that was quite nice. Sweet. That was
nice.
And then you just start crying.
They'll go, what's a cricket score? That's another one I thought of. what's a cricket score?
That's great. I like that.
Just shout, how's that?
And then but then I'd have other people, you know, my sisters and my brother or whatever and close friends around. I've got to, you know, somehow reach them as well. I just can't concentrate on Julie, can I? I've got to... So,
give everyone a little rundown.
Give everyone
go
a
go around the group. Give
it's like Carl's
little...
wedding speech. Give everyone a thank you.
Yeah, like a thank you for. And I'm glad.
Anything you'd like to say to the listeners before you die?
Eh?
Anything you'd like to say to the listeners before you die of the podcast?
Just in case.
I'm glad you've. I could die during the podcast, couldn't I? And I'd just hear my final words.
We'd repeat
an ideal way to go.
Yeah.
We'd make a nice little Instagram video out of it.
You'll get halfway through a word and that's it. Well.
That would be annoying.
I said, listen, mate, you're a cunt and your boss can get fucked.
What did you think of the speeches yesterday? Obviously, we'll get to the fact that you did a poem at the wedding party.
Yeah,
speech-wise, what do you think?
I thought Michael was very good.
Very good, yeah.
Very good, wasn't he? He's an experienced fucking speaker, isn't he? Obviously, you can tell the years of experience.
Experience speaking to other Australian men whilst having a piss.
Yeah, that's right.
So just doing a non-piss based
speech.
And I thought the crowd was a bit mainstream. Yeah, that's what I thought. I did.
I just say that? I was chatting to you afterwards.
I thought they thought my poem was a bit negative. It was negative, but I did counterbalance it with a positive.
Come to that in a minute, the speech itself, but I... What I found funny is you and me were chatting next to the platter of food, which you hated. And you went, it's a bit like a corporate, that, isn't it? And I went, it's much easier than a corporate for me because corporates are very stuffy. And then I went, I can't imagine you do a lot of corporates. And then Julia said, you're not good at them, especially after the last one you did.
Yeah, that's right,
Which you'd like to tell Carl about this?
Yeah,
well, I did a gig.
Party to this story.
John Keyes rang me up and they gave me the company name. It was in East Croydon, which is all a bad sign. Anyway, the gig and that shit, I was on my way to go, oh, fuck. So anyway, it was in a hotel. And I had a bad, this is the weekend or a few weeks after I thought my ex-wife had motor neurone disease.
Right.
So and I was worried about her, and I had this gig, this corporate, and I was really quite teary actually. I was talking to her on the, I phoned her up from the hotel, you know, on their phone. I use their phone. And
really milk that yeah. company for yeah, all
that company. And then I went in there.
Call Australia for 9 hours.
Yeah, the typical, you know, circular tables.
Yeah.
You know, a low IQ audience generally. So I go on there and I cracked a joke about the microphone was leaning to the left. I said, yeah. Oh, that's, I'm left wing, look at the microphone. Some banal joke like yeah. that, but got no reaction at all. They just stared at me. And
sounds
anyway,
like a great joke, mate.
What happened what happened was I started and I was doing all right, and then the big honcho, he fucking arrived and sat at like the head honcho's table with yeah. a few other knobs, and all of a sudden he didn't think it was funny, he wasn't laughing at all, and he had an effect on the rest of the crowd.
Right.
Then suddenly I'm dying in my ass, and then, but I still kept on going, and then I didn't know he was the head honcho actually, right. and then he heckled me with, when are you going to get off?
Yeah.
And then I said, listen mate, I'll get off when I feel like it. This is my show, and I'll finish when I feel like it, okay? If I can turn the room to everyone fucking...
Sounds uncomfortable.
Know, such a serious you know,
yeah.
response.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, that's
extremely
right.
uncomfortable.
Some people are like, what's your best heckle put down?
It's like, yeah. it's basically... It's almost... It's passive aggressiveness, actually.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sphincters tightened at that point.
Yeah.
Throughout the, I could sense the tightening of sphincters. And I went, oh, anyway, I eventually had to come off. He actually came on the stage and took the mic, and I think it was. And
said, very casual to say you got kicked off stage.
Yeah, anyway, so anyway.
How long did you manage before he booted you off? How long had you got?
I'd probably done about 10 or 11 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was 450 quid, you know. So anyway.
It's not.
So anyway, I went to the bar, had a few drinks, and then I telephoned my ex-wife from, you know, their telephone again.
Yeah.
I talked to her about 15 minutes. And then I...
that's a funny thing to do. Fuck these guys. I'm
going
to Australia.
Just to hang around for a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Just been kicked off stage at a gig. You're like, I'm just going to stay for a bit.
And then I go into the toilet, I'm having a piss, and they had a bit of a break in the corporate room. And
yeah.
Next minute, I'm standing next to the, like that, not the head, but the ex, second down. And he said to me, I thought something like, I think your material is inappropriate, something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I said, listen,
mate, you're a cunt and your boss can get fucked.
And he, very different response to the on-stage one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And I'd say it's much less measured.
Both
it?
Deadly serious.
But the look in his face was like a whiplash.
Comes out of nowhere.
That's really, right. That's right.
Having a wee. Imagine having a wee in somebody's hands. You're
it's already awkward.
And your boss can get
your dick out or someone's calling
you. Oh, so anyway, so I thought, you know, I had a few drinks. I stayed at the bar and I had a few drinks.
Just go home.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just go home?
Just leave.
Well, I did, but I think it was a bar tab. I thought I had a few drinks.
Yeah,
I was pissed,
send a few back to China as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I went back to home.
Send a bit of post out.
Yeah, so anyway, fuck, it was a horrible gig anyway. And then they weren't going to pay me.
Uh-huh.
And John said either. I thought, you know, it was a poor show and they don't want to pay. And I said, tell them that any corporation worth their fucking salt would pay a measly 450 quid.
Yeah.
If they're not going to pay me, their business must be doing really badly.
Yeah.
You know, fucking give it to them that way. And they paid me.
Really childish about their business. Yeah. Strike them out.
Yeah, and they paid me. They must have, I said, you must be doing really badly in business.
Tell you what, there's a guy that you choked in the toilet going, I think we should pay him.
But the woman who organised the gig said I could say anything I want. Yeah, I know, you can swear.
You can
take the piss out. They'll love it. And they didn't fucking love it at all. And then you got this piece of shit.
It's funny if somebody said that about Trev's poem at a wedding, like my dad or something, mate, and I thought that poem was inappropriate.
Yeah.
He goes, I think you're a cunt. Your son can fuck off.
Fuck off. Oh my god. Oh, yeah, really caught me off guard.
So I think that could have been my last corporate. I just don't do them well.
Yeah.
See, corporate people, they want people who look like them. You know what I mean? Like nicely dressed, short hair.
Yeah.
You know, this
like
positive.
Jimmy McGee yesterday was the MC. He was dressed very smartly. He kind of looked quite elegant and is quite charming.
Yeah, he did. But he's a charming sort of bloke, isn't he, Jimmy? I don't have that intrinsic charm that Jimmy's got, and he's very handsome.
Other things about the wedding?
Did you talk to many other people that you didn't know? Did you have any...
I talked to the big bloke about cricket, actually. I don't know. He's... I didn't know. I'm very bad on names.
Might have been John. Big John.
Quite.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's involved with cricket, so I had quite a good conversation.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
Commentates.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about cricket sledging, and I said I knew some really funny ones.
Yeah.
And my best one, I'll tell you this one. This is really funny. There was a bloke in Australia called Jimmy Siddons. He's a very good player on a Shield cricket level, which is one below Test matches. And he strived to be a Test match player. Never made it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're having a Shield game, which is not a Test match, it's next first class game. And Steve Waugh came out to bat, and he's he's taking centre and looking around the field, a bit of a carry on.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Siddons, who was fielding it, slipped, said, "Oh, for fuck's sake, Waugh, this isn't a Test match." And Steve Waugh said, "Well, of course it's not. You're fucking playing, right?"
Slam, like,
cut to the bone. Yeah, like, cut to the bone. And I thought that was a great...
If you'd been there, you'd have been, "Do you know what, mate? You're a cunt."
Yeah,
you can fuck off.
That's right.
Back to your fucking Test match.
You're a cunt and your brother can get fucked. That's because the war twin.
That's got to be the title of this podcast. You know, like the sort of tagline is, "You're a cunt and your boss can fuck off."
Yeah, you're a cunt. Your boss can get fucked. We'll call the podcast, though.
And when was the last wedding you went to? And sort of, this obviously was...
I don't go to weddings generally. I don't like them. The more elaborate the wedding, the less likely I am to go.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, right.
What's elaborate, like, outside of...
Well,
London?
Church weddings that I go to. I was invited to one. It could have been Mike Gunn or... it was a very elaborate wedding anyway, a church wedding.
Why was it elaborate?
Well, it was a big, expensive church wedding.
Okay.
And I didn't go because I don't like church weddings. And I always tend to think, the more money you spend on the wedding, the less likely it is to fucking succeed.
Yeah.
You know, because I think if
Has that relationship worked out?
I think they're divorced.
Yeah. We'll edit the names out on that one. Yeah. So you were correct on that
one. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, Mike, if you're listening. Don't want to fucking bring up...
He'll edit his name out, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I knew that'd fuck up. But I wouldn't go to the celebration either. I didn't go to that because it was a smoking.
Yeah.
They're in a smoking venue. This before smoking was out. So I didn't want to, be enveloped in smoke for fucking 4 hours. So, and they were phoning me up to come, and I just stopped answering the phone.
So you didn't just ask, you didn't just say,
You treated your friend like a trick or
no, I said, no, not really in the mood. I made up some lame excuse, but I kept getting calls from Dave John's phoning me, and I just stopped answering the phone. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, persecuting me. We'll get a fucking wedding.
Persecuting, wanting you to go to their wedding. Being persecuted here.
Someone really wanted me to be part of their special day. Yeah. Fucking Nazis.
So anyway, I was proven right in the end that marriage fucked up. So
there you go. You had the last laugh.
Lovely sentiment. I didn't go. I didn't before this shit and it failed.
So because Carl's is quite a nice homely wedding.
Yes, that's
you
right.
You think he's got a good chance of succeeding?
Yeah, it was a homely wedding and not too much money spent. And then everyone was like, all the speeches were quite... I just thought everyone's a nice family here, you know what I mean? Like, your parents are nice, her family's nice.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of nice people.
Yeah.
Like, there's no cunts amongst you at all. Not one. And I'm very good at picking up on that.
You've got one of the best cunt senses.
Your cunt dar on max.
I've got a radar for cunts.
It was a CFZ. Yeah. Cunt free zone.
Here's one thing actually, sort of ties into all this marriagey stuff, because it came up in a different conversation I had yesterday, and the death stuff at the start of the episode.
Yeah.
One thing I was curious about, you talked about obviously earlier in the season that you, if the luckiest man on the earth to get two free houses.
Yes.
Have you got a will?
Oh yeah, I've got a will. Yeah.
How is that? What talk me through your will.
It took me ages to get a will because to write a will means I'm going to die and I need to leave this shit to someone.
Yeah.
And, so I didn't want to sort of write a will. I thought it was a bit depressing.
Yeah.
But then I thought, no, I've got to leave it to someone, and I figured it out. It's like Julie gets a flat. If something happened to him. I said to her, listen. I know you're like, I owe Julie, I reckon, about £1 million. I always fucking sponge money off her. And don't worry, if I die, you'll get the flat. What the fuck? You know what I mean? Don't worry.
I like the fact you're thinking about it much more in monetary terms. Just Lee, you want her to have what is your house.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
It's more about
this. This back to sweet.
That's right.
It's about half the money back, but we'll call it quits.
That's right. She'd probably sell it and go on a big holiday. So I'll leave it to Julia.
Yeah.
And if something happened to Julia, they'll leave it to my sisters. Something happened to them, leave it to some of her kids. if something happened to them, then fucking you lot come in it, right?
Yeah. Great, yeah. And is it only the flat that's really in the mix? Is there anything else you put on the list?
No, I've got nothing worth anything. That's it. The flat is my.
So have you got
asset.
No? You've got no well, sort of. Well, not belongings, but you've got nothing of note.
Yeah.
To like, not even like an
like
old.
Like a laptop or something.
Oh yeah, I've got a very old laptop and you know.
iPad.
I've got an iPad. Yeah.
Who gets that?
Fuck! Who's gonna give that?
Have you got any family heirlooms?
Yeah.
It is.
Have you got anything passed on from your mum or your dad?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't fucking got
from. I don't know
why
it's funny. It's very rare.
Not even a trinket.
Just
or
nothing.
Memory.
But I sort of imagine that you could probably get all your life into a rucksack, apart from
the idea of having things from mum and dad, because I miss my mum and dad. They're lovely people.
Yeah, they sounded very nice.
I just find everything connected to them a bit heart-wrenching. And
I get that.
And so I tend to do...
Do your sisters have it? Do they have some stuff from them?
Actually, Christine, that's my old... she's younger than me, but older than the other one. So she's got like a house full of memorabilia.
That's nice.
And my record collection. I've got like 80 LPs, the old LPs.
Oh, so she's got all your stuff.
She's got your stuff.
That's right.
There we go. Who gets your record collection?
Yeah, it's under lock. Well,
she's man-marks it for a few years, so she gets to keep it.
Yeah, so I've got a picture of me when I was 7 years old, an extremely sweet, angelic-looking kid. I can't believe... how fucking cute it was. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'd just like cheeky, not a cheeky grin, but I had a look on my face, a bit devilish, but at the same time angelic.
Yeah.
And then big curly hair and my eyes. A handsome fucking kid, really was.
What happens to that picture?
Oh, it's at Christine's place. That's my sister's.
Right.
That's family fucking heirloom.
If I was your sister, I'd ask you to get all your shit out of my house personally.
No, she's got a big house. She's got a massive fucking house.
Oh, really?
Just in a spare room. It's a government house, but it's an old house that's... In Australia, they had this system where if you got, let's say, a government accommodation, they wouldn't put all the flats together, depressing. So they put you in a house here, you in a house there. You're not together in a ghetto.
Yeah.
And so she got this house, which... On the market, the house would be worth about $700,000 easily.
Yeah.
Maybe even more, maybe a million.
Everything's in monetary value.
she's living in there for about $100 a week.
Great.
And it's got four bedrooms. It's a high ceiling. And,
and your family really know how to just get by, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, blaggers, mate.
So she's got a house.
Blagging scumbag.
She's got a house. I've got two houses. We're doing very fucking well with your family.
Unbelievable.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I can sort of, sympathise with stalkers and that kind of stuff.
Can't sympathise. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right, Trev. So we heard the poem yesterday. I had a couple of drinks.
And I'm excited to hear this again because I was quite drunk already read it at the wedding.
Trevor's wedding poem.
This is a more cynical version because you got the other version on tape anyway. So I'll do this one. We're here to celebrate the tying of the knot, two lonely people giving it another shot. I'm sure the marriage will last and be in good health, though the stats say something else. According to my trusted source, nearly half end in divorce. But fuck the stats and the statisticians. What do they know of love and the human condition? This happy couple have what it takes to avoid disaster and the silly mistakes, the pointless arguments that go nowhere, the stress that would see Carl lose his hair, the tribulations time after time that would see Hannah lose her mind, to hit the bottle as the other fumes, to sleep in separate rooms. Crisis after crisis, it doesn't get tougher, hating the sight of one another. These are the pitfalls they can avoid, making the chance of failure null and void. All problems overcome, all disasters easily undone. It's not that hard, no need to dwell, compromise or live in hell.
In hindsight, such a funny poem, yeah, to do it. Yeah, a sweet affair. Everyone would have been so loving, and Trev just listed loads of features of a shit marriage.
Yeah.
I can't remember. That was a lot of that I'd forgotten.
It's a gear change, but I liked it. It was very Trev based.
That's why.
Ultimately, you're saying they're a good couple.
Saying they're going to avoid all these bad things I've just listed.
Being in a shit marriage, drinking heavily, resenting each other,
living in different rooms and
that
will not happen to Carl. That's a funny
We've never slept in separate rooms when we've been in the same house. We've never had an argument that's led to sleep
did
in
you
separate
used to do
rooms.
Have your ex have an argument sleep in a
I never wanted to. You just fucking sent me to Coventry.
What?
You know what I mean? Is that the word? No, like just
where did that come from?
She'd tell me to get out, you know, and I'd go, oh fuck.
Oh, Coventry, is that a different part of Australia?
No, it's Coventry here. It's not Australia.
You need to explain more.
This needs to back up.
That's not like a kid.
Yeah, you're sent into exile.
But Coventry is, you use the phrase Coventry.
It's like the opposite of a kid in the war. You got sent out of Coventry to the country.
Yeah, so then I'd have to go in the other room.
Right.
It wasn't really my choice, but because it was like a mattress on the floor.
In your front room, there was a mattress on the front?
In the spare room.
Spare room. Is it the front room? It should have been a crack den or something.
I mean, I did go sleep on the sofa one night with Julia. I remember. I don't know what we were arguing. I thought she hurt my feeling, and I went, fuck this. You know what I mean? And then I went in the other room, and I put the TV on, and then I thought, not great, is it? And then, but I thought I'll give her a few hours to think about what she'd done.
This is at night time, though.
Yeah, yeah.
When everyone's going to bed.
Yeah, fairly late.
Give a few hours. Give about 7.5 to 8 hours to think about what she'd done.
But I did go back. I slowly opened the door. I think her one eye opened. And she was like waiting for me to come back.
Oh,
so
really?
She actually was very welcoming when I did come back.
Okay.
Did she learn her lesson?
Yeah, she'd learned her lesson. She'd learned her lesson.
Never sent Trevor to Coventry.
Have you ever slept on a sofa?
No, I haven't slept in another room. Although once when I did a routine about once, I did scare the shit out of her the night before the audition. She said, I'm now not going to sleep, so you can't sleep. And I went, I'll just take myself to the other room. And then I tried to sleep in a spare room, and then I woken up by her with lightning coming through the windows, calling me an arsehole.
Oh, really?
She was calling you an arsehole?
Yeah, it scared the shit out. You know when you hide behind a door and scare someone? I timed it terribly. And genuinely thought she was in danger and could not sleep.
It's great scaring. This is a fucking nasty thing to do. One of my girlfriends, she saw me at the bus stop, and this is in Canberra. Her name was Sandra, and I knew when she left me, I cut through this paddock to get near these bushes. She had to walk past on the way back home.
Yeah.
I was in there, and I started to make noises and I was coming out of the bushes to fucking get her, really. And she just fucking shrieked and ran. It's the wrong thing to do, sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's a man coming out of a bushes.
Yeah. And
what happened? Did she
it was hilarious. It was fucking funny, though. It was really hilarious. But I thought, no, I've overdone it here.
Sounds like it.
I meant it to be like a prank. You know,
She didn't know who you were.
Yeah.
She came out of the bushes, and what happened? She just ran away.
Yeah, she fucking just ran. I didn't come out of the bushes. I stayed behind. But I made noises like I was coming towards her. You know what I mean? God. Just to scare the fuck out of her.
What point did you go, it's just Trevor? Did you say it's just...
No, I didn't say that, because I was so deep into it, then she would have probably attacked me for it.
You were so fucking in character.
I didn't want to say it's me, because she would have gone off her head.
Did you ever tell her it was you?
No, I didn't.
That's insane.
Yeah. That is insane. So she just genuinely thought she got followed.
Yeah.
So did
she
come home and go, "There's a guy in the bushes that scared me"?
I don't know. I can't remember whether she mentioned me or not. I'm not quite sure.
That would have been funny if she was going to be like,
"That sounds probably traumatised.
That sounds awful."
I'd go a different route from
there. Yeah,
avoid that.
Can't be
dangerous.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch out for the bushes. Yeah. Can't be too safe around it.
Avoid that fucking panic.
Did it shortly end that relationship after that?
No, it was ending anyway. It was just a fuck relationship, sadly, but.
That's the one. Sounds totally normal of you hiding in bushes.
That's not a prank.
The one she was married to a copper, and they were divorced or separated, and he couldn't handle me and stalked us, and fucking nightmare, really.
Really?
Mm. But they tell you that, didn't they? Stalking us and
no,
fucking. You got nightmare. Stalked by a policeman. Oh
God, he's going to be so good at
you
stalking.
Got stalked by a policeman.
Yes,
really?
About a year.
Oh, who'd you tell about that?
How have we just?
Well, fucking, what can you say? He's a copper.
What I mean. Who'd you tell? You can't tell the police.
That's right. He's well up in the police force, and. And he was like completely obsessed with her and thought I was, fucking intruding and he could get back together. It wasn't for me and all that kind of dynamic came into it.
So what did he start doing? What was he doing to you?
He'd follow us, he'd check up on me, he'd spread rumours that he'd, that I was a pedophile or something.
Oh my God.
It really got fucking really
hard. How did it end? How did you?
Well, we broke up and then he calmed down.
such a normal end to a horrendous story.
Yeah.
He spent rooms on paedophile. I just broke up.
Yeah, he called me an unemployed scumbag because I was on the dole at the time.
Yeah.
And the fact that I was on
dole. You got me on that one, mate.
Well, can you imagine being on the dole like I was, a complete loser, but I'm still fucking better than he is as far as she was concerned.
Yeah.
It must have affected his self-esteem, I think.
You quite sweetly feel sorry for this bloke.
In a way, I did, because I've been through similar things myself with women. And you get very obsessive and and it's a mental illness. You go through this phase where you're just obsessed with someone and you're writing them letters, like love letters that are 4 pages fucking long and you're wondering where they are, when they're out. And it's like a fucking horrible feeling.
Yeah,
and then not quite stalking them, but in a way you are.
So he was sending her love letters and stuff.
No, I've done that. Yeah, okay. Like when I broke up with a woman, I'd send these love letters like fucking 4 pages long, and if I phoned up and the phone was busy, I'd go, "Oh, who's she talking to?" And I got this like horrible situation you're in. So I can sort of sympathise with stalkers and that kind of stuff.
It's long story short.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I sympathise.
If you're stalking me for a year, I'm there thinking, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah. I know the mental state.
Do you know what? I see in a very Trevor way what you are saying, which is often I think as men that we can, we're not very good at expressing ourselves. Rather than having an open thing about it, we get a little bit, internalise what's going on. And it comes out in bad ways like love letters. Or
that's right. And love letters because I knew the relationship was fucked by that point, but you get these love letters and I'll do anything, and you lower yourself. You get lower self-esteem because there isn't nothing that I wouldn't do in those love letters. You know what I mean? If she said walk to China and fucking I would have done it. And you know what I mean? You humiliate yourself in a way.
Yeah.
It makes you look totally desperate.
Bear in mind, it's hard enough to get Trev to walk to the shops.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Impressive. Maybe Julian.
Herb garden from like episode series 3.
We need to break Trevor's heart and see if he'll just beg to do anything to be babysitting Trevor.
Yeah, but no, it's a painful period of my life. All those.
Well, at least you're now in a very.
It's a love that's not returned.
Unrequited love.
Yeah.
It's the worst type of love.
Oh, it's awful. Fucking hell, it's bad, isn't it?
Apart from when you're losing at tennis.
No, and it's. It lingers on. It lingers and fucking lingers.
That was a cheesy dad joke.
That was a good dad joke. Yeah.
What
was the thing you said about that guy from the wedding?
Oh yeah, one of the there was a guy at the wedding who very
he's a lovely guy. He's a sweet John. Guy.
I don't know. He might listen to the podcast.
Oh, you're right. Who was that bloke at the wedding?
No, it was fine. We'll leave. I just suddenly, if he listens to it, then it's like
I feel like we're taking a mic.
Yeah,
but he was actually just being quite funny.
He was being funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, Trev, it's been an emotional season. It's been great to see you back.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do now. We're not doing another one for ages, are
we? We're going to break up with you for a while until you stop begging us via love letter
I'll fucking stalk you in LA or something.
Yeah, you will. It's funny that I said to Trev, you can come and crash at one point. I can tell he's really considering it, but I'm slightly worried he might live in my apartment for about 2 years.
Can't get rid of me.
Can't get rid of me.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't want me around. Really.
No, I'd like you around for like one to two days.
I'd bring the reputation of the whole building down.
I reckon you'd be quite a low maintenance.
No, I think you'd be. I could leave you. I'd never have to entertain you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm quiet. And I'm quiet. Unless you ask me a question, then I never shut up. But generally, I'm quiet.
Yeah.
I'm good natured generally. I'm kind.
You sound like you're describing a dog.
It's very good natured.
Yeah, that's right.
He's quiet. He's good natured.
Yeah.
I've got immediate, moderate energy levels, maybe low energy levels.
Definitely. Maybe that's what we need to do now. Chris is going
adopt,
away.
Adopt a Trevor.
Adopt a Trevor.
And,
That'd be a great fun if you get listeners to write in about let's like take you for a day.
Yeah.
Take you out for a day.
I've got to mention Dub. Oh, this won't be aired for ages, will it? He wanted me to mention he's got a
was Dub the guy you sent us a photo of you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The guy used to get his dick out a lot.
Aye?
The guy used to get his dick out a lot with a
Polynesian
kids.
Well, Dub wanted me to show the original, which is a bit. You know, the original is no censorship.
Yeah.
So I decided.
Should we describe the photo for everyone? The photos if you got the photo.
Yeah, producer Joel has it.
Oh, and so it's a picture of Trev and Dub, and there's sort of it's blocked out what's happening down below.
Yeah, that's right.
You both got your
because we sort of exposed ourselves just for a laugh.
Yeah.
And
back in the day,
and it was like. Childish thing to do, really.
Yeah.
But it was a good laugh at the time.
Yeah,
that's the excuse for a lot of behaviour in the '70s.
Yeah, it cost me a lot of shags, I can tell you that, because I was pretty good with women years ago, and I'd fuck myself up doing stuff like that at parties. They'd be talking to me, I'd be making them laugh, and I'm, a reasonably nice bloke, and I remember. And the next minute, I've got my cock out.
That's a very funny
image. Just fucked it up.
These two of them go, that Trevor guy's quite nice. What's the geese who's got his dick out of your shop?
With his mate.
My friend Jimmy's showing golf swings of a rake, and Trevor's helicoptering his penis.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. I mean, Julie condemns me for it. It really goes on about a lot.
Yeah.
About why did you do that kind of stuff? It's just unheard of. It's just unspeakably bad.
But at least you now, I've come out the other side and you feel bad about it.
No, I don't feel bad about it. Just a period of my life. You know what I mean? Just a period of my life. It's something I regret in a way. You know what I mean? But then again, I could have had sex with a woman that night because I didn't do it and caught a fucking disease. So it's probably a positive thing.
Yeah,
that way. So it lessened my chances of getting AIDS. So.
Spin on flashing.
Joel, you have to leave this conversation.
What a spin on that,
please.
How you got a positive out of exposing yourself.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
but is that what you wanted to say about Dub? Was there a different...
No, he's just got a blog called Tales of a Canberra Boy.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's... I'm in some of the stories. He just puts these... He's quite a good writer. And he's just got stories about old Canberra.
Yeah.
And photographs and all that kind of stuff.
I was hoping there won't be any photographs.
And some of the stories I've told you, he's actually... about me being lost in the park and in the bush.
Oh, great. So where is that just Tales of a Canberra Boy on
Google? Tales of a Canberra Boy.
Great, there you go.
So it's very cynical, Dub. He's extremely, a good, great bloke, but very, very dark and very, very cynical.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm scared to ever meet him. But anyway, I'm glad you've had fun, Trev, and I hope your anxiety continues to ease.
Yes.
Don't go on the internet too much in Australia.
No, that's right, no. I'm going to miss you all. I really love the podcast. It's my comedy career is fucked, but this is like a bit of a highlight.
There you go.
It's good fun. It's good. It's a good
and also, while you're doing this, mate, you can't get AIDS for an hour or so.
Yeah,
that's a good spin on
that. That's right.
So your task between now and season six is to not get AIDS.
Okay. I won't get run over by a bus in here, will I?
There you go.
There's a positive to everything. Yin and yang.
And on that note, Trev, see you next season.
See you later.
Next time.
So that was the end of season five.
End of season five.
That took some weird tangents.
Oh, some of them caught me off guard. I'm pretty hungover, obviously, with what happened yesterday. But, the end bit about AIDS, really.
The story of the corporate.
Really perked me up.
The story of the corporate. The story of the Chinese cancer treatment.
His speech again. Your boss can fuck off.
Yeah.
I think it's my favourite line.
That's the name of the episode. Until maybe the end is like, at least you can't get AIDS whilst doing the fuck. Anyway, I'm going to miss Trev and you terribly in America,
but I'm coming out. I'll see you out.
We'll make it. I was here for such a short window, and the main thing I did was this. So, listeners, be rest assured that even if there's a gap between seasons, we will make another one.
Yes,
at all costs.
Listening.
Go on iTunes.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. There's loads in the... There's 29 in the back catalogue now. Yes. It's great. Re-listen. Spread the word.
Go for it.
Bye.
Bye.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.